Thanks, Steve Bertrand. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Lefton. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. The team is back at full strength. Wendy is back. Steve Bertrand is back. All is right with the world.
Are people going to talk that Steve Bertrand and I were off on the same day?
Well, we were.
Several people said, please tell Wendy and Steve that the Poconos are beautiful this time of year. I hope they had a good time. And I don't know what that means.
We were up at the Kettle Moraine area in Wisconsin.
That's what I thought. Right.
Holy hill.
I don't know where it was, Steve. You blindfolded me, so I enjoyed it.
And put you in the trunk.
You can't do that anymore, Wendy.
Right. There was a time where that was perfectly acceptable. Those days are gone.
Wait, can I not joke about things like that anymore?
No, inappropriate.
See,
offensive and inappropriate.
I don't want it to come up in an investigation later.
You know what? If I was a guy, I would be scared to do anything now.
Oh, tell me about it.
But it shouldn't be like that.
Well, it...
Listen, everything, you have said goofy things. Well, some have been inappropriate and some have been stupid.
Right.
But there's nothing.
Right. I alternate. I'll say inappropriate, then I'll say stupid, then I'll say inappropriate, then I'll say stupid. You got to mix it up a little bit.
But I think it is a bad time to be a man.
Well, now you know what Steve and I have been going through for hundreds of years.
For the first time ever.
Hundreds of years.
I feel sorry for the guys as opposed to the women.
Everybody right now is on high alert. Everybody has to be a little careful and a little sensitive. I don't know that it'll ever go back to... There's a story today about a documentary about Apu, who is one of the characters on The Simpsons.
Yes.
And they said when this character was conceived, it was perfectly allowable to play out a stereotype on television. He's a stereotype of an Indian shop owner.
Would you like a squishy?
Yeah. Right? All right. So,
boy, he is.
He really is. And let's be honest, a lot of the characters on The Simpsons are. Actually, there was a bowling team they had called, what was the name of the bowling team? The Stereotypes, I think they call themselves. So it was four guys from Springfield that are all the characters are stereotypes, right? And that was on their bowling shirts, it said the Stereotypes. All right, so they said when The Simpsons first came out, America didn't think anything of Apu. He was the Indian shopkeeper that has been parodied before, and you know. And now they say, this is horrible. You can't put a guy like this on air. I remember talking to Dave Thomas once. Dave Thomas was a member of SCTV. And I said, boy, you know, some of your characters, I think about them all the time. Dr. Lin Yi Tang. I just went down the line and he goes, most of those I couldn't do on the air anymore. And I go, oh, come on. And then I thought about it and I went, no, you know what? I don't know that he can. Because they're rooted in stereotypes. There's more to the character than just a stereotype, but they're rooted in a stereotype.
But that's what everybody did.
I know.
And everyone laughed at themselves.
I know. And it's still, in a way, it should still be funny. I mean, it is still funny. I told you, when I went to see Don Rickles a couple of years ago, nearly everything Don Rickles said, we have now learned, is wrong. Almost everything. And I looked at the guys I was with, like, he would do a joke, and we'd all look at each other like, oh, no. And yet, there was the audience laughing at it.
And packed, wasn't it?
Jammed to the rafters.
Well, yeah. You know, a great example of that came up on your show last week when I forget what the topic was, but you were talking to the guy about race relations and language. On Sanford and Son, they used to drop the N-word.
Yeah. Not frequently, but every once in a while in an episode, the N-word was mentioned, there was no uproar, there was no panic. People just kind of went out. Oh, yeah.
Shows how language changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Don Rickles is kind of grandfathered in, no pun intended, but
right.
He is.
Right.
He's not going to change now, and if people didn't like it, no one would go to see him, but they went to see him.
So true. All right, so getting back to your point of what's going on now with harassment everywhere, watch an episode of The Office, and I know that it's a comedy. They're playing off the fact that Michael Scott is inappropriate with the people he works with. But watch an episode of The Office and hit a buzzer every time he says or does something that in a real office setting would cause a problem.
That's what she said.
Right. Every single time.
I know.
Every single time he says that, somebody would go, uh-oh.
Yeah, but I mean, see, I agree in a sense with the zero tolerance. No one should be fearful when they go to work.
No.
For sexual harassment,
right.
For anger reasons. I mean, no one, man or woman.
Right.
But there's also some goofing around that happens, too.
So don't you think with the goofing around, you kind of have to know the tolerance of the people in your office? If somebody's uncomfortable with it, you got to scale back. If not totally obliterate it, you got to scale it way back. If there's somebody there who finds offense, you're always going to find people that you're simpatico at work with where you can say things and get away with things. But if you're in a setting now, especially now, with somebody who's uncomfortable with it, I think you have to be so careful.
Well, I think the people who tend to be most afraid are probably the least guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's
that. Oh, yeah.
I offend Todd Manley every time we have a meeting.
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
He broke Cal Ripken's streak.
Wendy. Like that. And I'm just being, and I'm really, like, I'm really thinking of it now. And I'm really feeling bad. And I'm just being a goof.
But the point I was going to make, though, is that even though if you know your audience, your audience's opinion can change of you.
Sure.
Todd's.
And it can change decades later.
Yeah, you're right. But don't you think it matters how well you know the person?
100%.
Because, I mean, if you have a new person who starts out and you say something bad, you're looking for trouble.
Right.
You really are.
Right. Right.
We've known each other a long time.
Yeah.
We've said inappropriate things
in the last 10 minutes. Right. So if you are in a room where you feel you have the safety of friends who have been around you and understand
and get you.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
Yeah. Right.
Cuz I come off as very abrasive, but I really have a marshmallow center.
Mhm. Literally.
Like a heart of gold. Yeah, I know.
I know. I saw you cut your hand once and marshmallow juice came out. I'm like, what's with that?
Three Musketeers is trying to tap that.
I didn't know there were. Now, you can't even say that anymore. You've offended Musketeers. Are you happy?
I'm just not going to talk.
By the way, the Three Musketeers don't do anything together anymore.
Never, ever.
Really?
No, Porthos ruined it. All right, let's take a quick break. If you want to jump
so
in
literary.
On this, I just love Alexander Dumas.
Look at you go.
If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, get set done. You can call us there. You can text us there. Are we being too careful or not careful enough? You let us know. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, I want to say this in order. You said a few moments ago that you feel sorry for men. And boy, there's a long laundry list of reasons to feel sorry for men at this point. But most notably now, because we have to be a little more careful. And we should have always been a little more careful, but now especially, there's a spotlight on it.
But there is a difference between walking up to the line and
right.
crossing that
oh,
line.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, but Wendy, it's not written down anywhere, and everyone has a different line.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Listen to this text from 219. It is so bad that in our office, we are not allowed to say anything because it could offend somebody, and there is now no joking allowed. It's disgusting. What? So I wonder what exactly happened. I wonder if that was just self-imposed, that everybody in the office went, uh-oh, now we have to be really careful. Or I wonder if somebody mentioned something in a memo or a meeting.
I think they just don't want to get in trouble. I think everybody's on edge, which I guess they should be.
Yeah. So we can't talk about politics anymore because that's a trouble spot. We can't goof around about most things because that's a trouble spot.
No jokes at work.
No jokes at work.
We'll be in serious trouble.
Well, you always bring Dixie Riddle Cups in, and we read them, and we laugh.
We should rewrite them. I mean, some of them are stale.
You don't think, why couldn't Batman go fishing because Robin ate the worms? You don't think that's comedy gold? Because I do. Makes
that's
me laugh
the worst
every time.
One I've ever heard.
Now, there was a worse one. What was the one about dentists? Why are dentists always unhappy because they look down in the mouth? That's worse.
That's pretty bad, too.
No one comes to my Dixie Cup museum. I don't know why I bothered putting it up.
Why don't you and I start a business where we rewrite them and make them funny?
I'd love that.
All right, Chris has been on hold for a while. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Wendy, you're from my neighborhood. Anyway,
that's inappropriate.
That's inappropriate.
Well, it's whatever. Okay, right. I won't get into where we live, but
the other side of the tracks.
I was just want to say, God, you're making me laugh now. I can't even control
it. I don't mean to.
No, okay. Well, not you, because you're not funny.
No, thank you, Chris.
Oh!
You got 30 seconds or you're going to be hung up on, Chris.
Wendy, so. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Growing up in, let's say, your neighborhood, tell me that you weren't happy when a guy said, whoo-hoo, nice A blank blank. And I don't like this stupid, everyone's making a big deal out of this sexual harassment, and I think it's wrong because, well, of course, if you grope, but...
Wait a minute. Chris, if I'm walking down the street and somebody says, nice ha-ha, which you couldn't even say on the air, that would be a little offensive.
You were probably happy about... I mean, don't tell me that was sexual harassment.
Were you ever happy about... If a guy yelled that at you, you're crossing a street and a guy yelled that at you, what was your reaction to that?
All right, Chris, I'm glad we're from the same neighborhood, but we got to put you... You got to cool down for a minute.
I don't think his call helped.
I don't think it did.
No, and that's what I mean. If you can't say it on the air, then listen, if a guy... I want my husband to go, you look fantastic.
Yes.
You know, even like Steve, if I came to work, I know you well enough, and if I had a new dress on and you just say, you look nice today, I'd be cool with that. But I bought two new dresses.
Okay. Because, I mean, I've never seen you in a dress.
All right. Well, that's inappropriate.
Even your wedding pantsuit, Wendy, was...
I got it from Hillary.
Did you? That's beautiful.
I borrowed it from her.
Yeah? All right.
But see, that's the mentality that's wrong. Yes, women like to be noticed, but not to the point where the notice turns into harassment.
Right.
If Chris can't say nice, whop, beep, boop.
Right. Then something's wrong.
Then that doesn't make me feel good.
I don't think so. Oh, Chris. Were you guys from the same neighborhood? I didn't get that.
Hi, Bill and Wendy.
Hello.
I'm Susie. I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse.
That's all right.
But getting to the...
Hello.
Hi.
Little pony.
Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting to what we're talking about, there was... I watched Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, on demand from the Sunday Night Show. And I know his job is to go over the top and over-exaggerate everything and make everything uncomfortable. But you know what? I watched it, and there were so many. Every scene was so uncomfortable that it's not even funny because of what's going on. And then you realize this is going on all the time, and it kind of made me upset. And I'm not a prude or anything, and I used to think he was hilarious. But it's gotten to the point that he's not.
Don't you think, though, to some extent, he's doing it to hold a mirror to it and say, look at the things that are going... You know that, right?
Yes. No, that's what his job is, to over-exaggerate and to make us see what's the social commentary as to what's going on right now. And what has always been going on. But then you watch some of the NBC shows or the, you know, CBS or whatever, the sitcoms, and years ago, they weren't over the top. And now everything they say is sexually suggestive. A woman's, what was that show about that shopping center kind of thing?
Superstore?
Yes. I mean, that one character in there is always aggressive toward the cute guy, Ben Feldman. And she says things that are inappropriate. Now, they never would do that on years ago on the sitcoms on regular network shows, only on HBO or, you know, the cable shows.
Friends kind of did it.
Well, All in the Family did it. Maude did it. The Jeffersons did it. It existed.
Right, but it more existed, like, with Archie Bunker being the voice of what's crazy going on, you know, and we would accept that he would say things that that normal people wouldn't come out. They'd have a filter.
Don't you think Larry David is doing kind of the same thing, though?
I guess you're right. I mean, yes.
And, Susie, yes. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, and my boys have started watching it. And every episode you go, he is such a jerk. So there's a reason for it, yeah.
Right. He's purposely inappropriate. I mean... It's incredible to me, and I think the characters he has on, like that Susie, the one that, you know, his agent, Jeff Garland's wife.
God, I love her.
I know. She hates him so much.
I know.
In the show, and she's always insulting him. She's the only one that does, though. I mean, they all go, you know, but he's always putting all his friends in these uncomfortable situations,
but
and they
Susie,
come back for more.
But think about this. He created the show, and he created that character as if to say, guys like me exist in the world, but there's always going to be people like her who call me out on it. So I think he succeeded in that way, don't you, kind of?
Yes, I definitely do. There's no question. I mean, because he makes me uncomfortable, yet I have to laugh to see absurdity of it because it's so over the top.
It is.
I mean, the guy that lives in his house now.
Leon.
Oh, my God. He's
get up
hilarious.
All in it.
I mean, he is. And this one scene where when he called up the guy at the car repair shop, and then when he went to see him, and he said, oh, my God, you're black. And then he told Leon, I would never know he's black.
Yep.
He says, sure you would. If you called him, I knew right away when I called him on the phone. And Larry David was like, he could recognize a black person, but he can't. But he says, but I can recognize someone Jewish.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's totally inappropriate, which is what he's trying to be, just to show everyone, don't be like Larry David.
Exactly.
Susie, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a good rest of the week. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got news. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Hey, Bill, you know who this is?
It's the greatest performer that ever walked the earth, Wendy, Bing Crosby. Der Bingle, as they called him in Germany.
They did.
Yeah, they called him Der Bingle. Yep. Time to decorate, Wendy. If you haven't already decorated, it's too late.
No, it is not.
The deadline is come and gone.
Tree Time Trend Tuesday, and we can hear all about the latest Christmas decorating trends with Tree Time's top designer, Cassie Nicholas. And Cassie, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You got to talk right into that microphone.
Okay.
There we go. Now, Lori Kane, one of the co-owners, she and her husband, Joe, who own Tree Time, not feeling well today. And I've seen your work. We've worked together before at Goodwill and various other places. Your decorating technique is wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're talking about some of the trends for Christmas. We were just talking off the air. Bill, you challenged me. How many trees?
How many trees do you have? And you pulled out your listing paper and started listing them all.
I have the main Tree Time tree, which is the 7-footer, and it's big and it's beautiful, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our anniversary tree in the front room, which has little anniversary ornaments to represent every year we've been married.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Star Wars tree.
Mm-hmm.
Then the porch tree. Does that count, Cassie? It's
yes.
just a little
yes,
small porch tree.
They all count.
Then there's the bathroom tree.
The bathroom tree.
What theme would that be?
You don't want to know. Don't ask. Retract your question.
Honestly, it's just a lame, I like it. It's just a silver tree. Remember the old silver trees? It's just a silver one, and I swag it with a red and green fabric underneath. And
ask Wendy where she found her lower intestine ornaments, because they're very hard to find. They're stunning, but they're so hard to... You don't want to know?
I don't think she found them at Tree
Time. No, she did not.
All right, but we were talking off the air with Cassie. I love my main Tree Time tree. That is in the family room, and it's just decked to the... It's decked completely, and it's bright and spangly. But in the front room, I don't want a tree that stands out so much. I want it looking more natural. Is that like something that's popular this year?
That actually is a really big trend this season, influenced by nature and the mm-hmm. Pantone color of the year, which Bill was talking about,
mm-hmm.
Which is spring green. It has lots of different shades of greens, browns, and taupes, birch and burlap and pine cones and birds. So that kind of sounds like the tree that you're talking about on your front porch.
Yeah, I haven't put the birds in it yet.
No.
One of these years I want to put real birds in
it. Yeah, that's more impressive, isn't it, if you have real birds? People talk about that. So does it go back and forth, Cassie? Are there years where it's more nostalgic and throwbacks and then other years where it's more kind of whatever the spur of the moment ideas are for Christmas? Does it kind of alternate a little or what?
Yeah, yes, it does. We see trends change throughout the years. I think right now in times of stress, a lot of the trends that we see are going back to nature is like a calming thing for people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And again, it's something too that your room might be decorated, your home decor might be the greens and the browns. And a lot of people want their Christmas decor to match their home decor. So that's kind of a
I don't
big
remember
trend
that when I was little.
I don't either.
Myself no? either. It was I remember the blue tinsel tree when I was a kid and lots of reds and greens, but it's not necessarily like that now. A lot of people have more than one tree in their home. They might go with one that matches their family room, and then they might have the kid-friendly tree of all the ornaments they've collected throughout the years. So
nice.
We're seeing people go with different, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a 12-foot tree in every room. It
right.
could be a small 5-foot potted tree.
Yeah, just something so that when you enter the room, you get the feeling that the holidays are there. Right.
Right. I know some people have a hard decision. They like whimsical. They like nature. They like all different things, and it doesn't look good all in one tree. So that's when it's nice to do a smaller version.
Yep.
That's why you need so many trees, because you do have a different vision for every room and for every tree.
And each family member might have. Your kids might love a gingerbread tree. Your husband, my husband, we have a horse tree at home. And there are not real horses in that tree. And I know that's what you were going to say. It's very rustic. It has bells in it. And we have ornaments that have horses on them.
Oh, nice.
Are you a horse owner?
Or a horse lover?
Horse
caretakers.
Oh.
I don't know much about horses. That's my husband's thing.
Yeah.
Do you have a toy tree and why not?
I don't.
You just have the one main tree?
Yeah, yeah.
No special tree in your toy room?
No, because, you know, I do that Snow Village every year.
Oh, yeah.
So any of those thoughts go into the Holiday Village. So, yeah.
What about people who don't want a tree? Are there other items at tree time that
you can
decorate?
Absolutely. A lot of people do a wreath on their mantle and garlands on their mantle or down their staircase. We have lots of fun tabletop items, too. Mm-hmm. Rather than doing a tree.
So your house or your apartment can still say Christmas without
a
tree.
Absolutely. And lights. Lights are always
great. Yeah, that's always going to work, right? Yeah.
All right. Her name is Cassie Nicholas. She's the Tree Time Creations lead designer. You can go to treetime.com. And we can't stress this enough. Bill, you were just out at Tree Time. There are so many differences between the trees. You won't believe it. You're like, okay, there's this one. They all look different. Some leave more space. Like, I like empty branches so you can put more ornaments deep inside. And some of the best ones go quickly. So now is the time to get out there, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. We are also giving the listeners a chance to win a $250 Tree Time shopping spree. So you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend. All you need to do is enter online at WGNradio.com/contests and look for the Tree Time giveaway. And thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. That was you, right, Wendy?
Yes.
I had to look over. All right, we'll take a quick break. Some news coming up in a little while. And don't forget, it is Tech Tuesday, so we'll check in with our friends at CNET. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, Bill. And there's we have a frog in our throats. There's a frog in the studio.
I'm all right.
I keep clearing my throat. I'm sorry.
What's up?
All right.
Bad bacteria. That's what it is, Wendy.
It's trying to get out.
I know. Don't let it.
I want to pass it along to you.
Uh-huh.
Bridget Carey is here, CNET senior editor. And Bridget, I know that Black Friday time is coming. There's also Cyber Monday. I was telling Bill off the air, there are some amazing deals out there. There's some... I don't know if it's PlayStation or something that my son wants. And if you order at a specific time, it comes bundled with a bunch of games and it's like $150 off. But what do they have one for sale? How do I know I'm going to get it?
Yeah, that can be stressful in itself. For the most part, a lot of the deals that have been advertised as doorbusters are just about $100 off the console. And what a lot of stores will do is they'll throw in a game bundle here or there. And you have to kind of do the math to see, like, if that deal is worth it. I know Costco had an interesting Xbox deal that was throwing in controllers. And, yeah, like, are you willing to, like, do the battle and to save a few extra bucks? Or, you know, do you want to go with someone who's going to throw in a gift card and you can use that gift card to buy the extra stuff that would be in the bundle anyway? I would also say that the Nintendo Switch is a hot gift this year. I doubt you'll find it on sale if you do run. But I have seen bundles for the Switch advertised, and the word bundle doesn't mean deal necessarily. For example, there's a great bundle that includes that hot new Mario Odyssey game, and it also has a carrying case, and it costs the same as if you bought them all separately. But hey, it's a cool gift bundle. So just kind of do your research. That's what I always tell people to do for multiple reasons. One of the Black Friday things that everyone's advertising is a Google Home Mini for just $30. It's one of those small, smart voice assistant speakers, and it's the cheapest we've seen. Everyone's got an extra deal to sweeten it by throwing in gift cards, too. But Google did admit that this speaker has a flaw. So surprise, surprise on the sale, right? This is something where there's a touch control that has been disabled, so you can only control it with your voice. Now, Amazon has its own version of this. That's also the same price. So you be the judge if you want to battle the crowds for something that may not work perfectly, or do you want to go on Amazon and just order it? So it does take a little bit of planning to kind of scheme all this out. But
Bridget, can I ask
who hits the stores and has a phone in hand?
I know this is a ridiculous question, but as you know, I'm slightly behind the times when it comes to the world of technology. What are you getting when you get a Google Mini? What exactly is that doing for you?
This is a small speaker, about a little bigger than a hockey puck kind of shape, you know, and it will play your music for you. It will, like you say, hey, Google, you know, or okay, Google, and just like how you would talk to an Alexa, it's the same concept, but you would instead be using Google's system, and you'll be setting reminders and, you know, adding things to your calendar, texting people, sometimes controlling different things in your home, like turning lights on and off.
Yeah.
If I may just jump in, Bridget, I know that you have to, the bad news is you have to connect everything.
you know what I mean? Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now, like, for instance, my 14-year-old uses this by going, and he'll wake up in the morning and he goes, Alexa, set my alarm for 7:15. So he doesn't have to get out of bed. It's hooked up to his phone.
Yeah.
So the alarm will go off at 7:15. So there are things like that that are beneficial for you. It's like, you know, a teenager's little assistant.
Uh-huh.
You know, order Yoohoo on Amazon. It will do it for you.
Or at least put it in your shopping.
In your cart.
Do it later. Because right. I have a toddler that came by who started saying poopy pants, and they put poopy pants game in my shopping cart. You never know what you'll get. I'll be bringing a toddler with Alexa. But I will say, too, that with Black Friday stuff, going back to that, last year's tech is still perfectly good, and that's what you usually see. It has the bigger sales. So last year's Google Home, that does have a button. That one we're seeing a lot of good sales for, along with last year's Roku and last year's Beats headphones. So don't rule out last year's tech.
And what do you say, Bridget, every year right after Black Friday they say, actually, that was not the best day to get your good deals. It's actually still coming. It's the days before Christmas. Is that the best time? Is that better than Black Friday?
Okay, there are analytic groups that study all these sales, and they have said that when it comes to tech, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, those are the best days in stores. They have the biggest sales, so they want you to get you in. That means you're not going to miss out. There will be a sale on Cyber Monday, but it might not be as sweet. So when it comes to tech, it seems that the sweetest deals are online and in stores Thursday and Friday. And they actually found out that toys have the best sales on Cyber Monday.
Oh, yeah?
That's not to say that there aren't sales on TVs on Cyber Monday, but they just might be as amazing. That said, you know, there's always another sale, so you're not going to totally miss
right.
out. Don't go crazy, you know.
I have a tip for everyone out there, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who does it, but anytime I order anything online, whether it be from Macy's or Carson's or some little Fan's Edge place to get a hockey puck, you can always just Google search that store name's promo code, and I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times I can get a coupon or money off, and some of the big retailers, they have Twitter posts and Facebook posts. You can always find deals following them that way. Are you supposed to stalk them?
No, that's great advice. There are even apps that kind of do the stalking for you, so to speak. There's one called Retail Me Not.
I'm a member of that.
I always use that to, like, pull up whatever Macy's coupon or whatever. You know, a lot of sales are going on now for the non-tech things because they know you're going to focus on tech on the big day. But even some tech, if you don't want to deal with the huge stress, Amazon has this amazing 4K Roku TV now that we reviewed highly. It's on sale for, $400. And, okay, so are you going to find a better 4K TV on Black Friday? That's a little cheaper, maybe one that's cheaper. I don't know about one that's better. So you kind of have to weigh that. There's one being advertised for under $100. It's made by Polaroid. Yeah, I don't know if TV's made by Polaroid, but so you get what you pay for on Black
Friday. Do the pictures move on the Polaroid television,
no,
or is it just a still shot?
You have to shake it to get the picture to come.
That seems like a waste of time. I don't know.
And probably the best advice is know your return policies. That's so important. I have some gifts, some tech gifts that one of my sons wants, and he was going to order it from somewhere, and I looked, and it just seemed kind of a pain in the ass to return it. So you're supposed to check that. Won't that help you?
Yeah, and I like to know that so some of the big box stores will honor prices that are advertised by Amazon, as long as it's not like a third party. It's actually Amazon selling it. You go up to the cash register, you go, hey, they got it for less. They might even just honor the price right then and there. I've done it a few times myself, and it worked on video games and movies.
Real briefly, I was returning something from Amazon yesterday, and it checked off you could pay for shipping or free drop-off at a Kohl's store near you. And I went to Kohl's and asked the woman at the register, and she just pointed to an Amazon carousel or whatever it is. What's it called in a mall? Kiosk.
Yeah.
And I just rang the button. She gave me a receipt. So Kohl's is now jumping in on returning Amazon things for you. Made it so easy, and it's free.
That's pretty interesting. We also noticed that this year Kohl's is doing more technology than it ever did before on Black Friday. So maybe those things are related. I don't know.
Could be. That's Bridget Carey. Anyway. Thanks, Bridget. Bridget Carey.
Poopy pants.
Right. That's the password. That's her website. Follow her on Twitter at Bridget Carey. Thanks, Bridget. Appreciate it. Bridget Carey from CNN.
Always fun.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We have news coming your way. And, Bill, you're beautiful, and we'll tell you more about that later on this afternoon. Is it still afternoon? I'm so out. I take one day off, and I'm completely confused. It's WGN. Thank you, Steve.
Steve, thanks from all of us.
You know, I want to say you're welcome.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
From me.
That's very, very nice of you. We've mentioned this in the past. Your late-night talk show hosts now are showing a very, very real side to them. There was a time, and don't get me wrong, Johnny Carson is the best that's ever been. I mean, I don't know how you do better.
He wasn't sensitive, though.
He was. Well, he may have been, but we never saw it on television, right? If something was happening personally with Johnny, I don't remember too many instances where he came on the air and talked about it. His son died in a car accident, and at the end of a show, he talked about that.
He did?
And it was it kind of created a rift between he and his producer, Freddie DeCorbita, because Freddie, who he'd refer to a lot, he was always kind of, you never saw him, but he was kind of off to the side, you know, motioning to go faster or go slower.
He was his Gelman kind of?
He was his Gelman. He was a pre-Gelman Gelman. Yes, he was. So when Johnny's son died in a very sad car accident, Johnny waited until the end of a show and started talking about it. And apparently, Freddie DeCorbita kept giving him a wrap it up signal. We're coming to the end. You got to wrap it up.
That's what you need when you're purging your soul about your son dying.
I know.
The wrap sign.
I have read that their relationship was never the same after that. But now what we've seen lately is Jimmy Kimmel has come on and talked about the hardship of his son being born with a heart defect. We've seen Stephen Colbert on several times talk about things that have gone on in the country that he's not happy with, you know, some shootings and some horrible, horrible incidents. And then last week, Jimmy Fallon's mother died, and he took the week off to be with his family. So he just returned and addressed the loss of his mother and how this has affected him. He did this, I thought, very eloquently, very beautifully. If you didn't see it, here's some audio, but I do urge you, and actually I'm sure we can get it up on our Facebook page, the video of this. He really is very honest and forthright about how much his mom meant to him. So listen to him address that on his show.
It's good to be back, guys. As some of you know, my mother, Gloria, passed away recently, and I canceled our shows last week to be with my family and make arrangements. She was the best audience. She was the one I was always trying to make laugh, and she was such a fan of the show and everything I did. When we were little, my mom would walk us to the store near my sister, and we would hold hands, you know, and she would squeeze my hand three times and say, I love you, and I would squeeze back, I love you too. And last week, I was in the hospital at her side, and I grabbed her hand, I squeezed, I love you. I just knew we were in trouble, you know. But I feel so grateful to be able to do this every single night, and I'm very appreciative
of all the support from all of you that my family received over the past week. We're going to continue to work really hard to bring some light and some laughter into the world. Thank you for watching. Thank you for helping me and my family recover from this loss. Mom, I'll never stop trying to make you laugh. I love you. More to us.
That's rough, man. That is rough. And there's nothing like your mom. And none of us on the show have moms, do we?
Right. I know. You lost yours. I lost mine. Jasmine, our producer, lost hers. I give him high credit, you know, to go on network TV and be that honest. It's, and we've, like I said, we've seen it from Jimmy Kimmel. We have seen it from Stephen Colbert, where they're not afraid to just go out and, you know, take a break from the laughter. And
we're,
you know,
all human, and yeah, that's what it shows. And that, to me, is such a turn on in a man, where you can just be yourself and show your vulnerability, because yeah, it was, you know, guys were tough for years. And then was it the 80s or 90s where guys, it was okay to, I love you, man. And
Alan
people
Alda
bond.
And Phil Donahue said, yes, to all men, yes, we had a meeting and they said, guys, we can soften up just a little bit. Follow our lead.
When was that?
And we did.
Like late 80s or 90s?
Yeah, in the 80s. I don't know, late 80s, but right, certainly in the 80s.
And then all of a sudden people got, you know, stoic again, and right, now it's like, come on, everybody's human. What I think most people can relate to is, yeah, these are people who have a talk show and they're celebrities, but they're just like us,
right?
And they heard about the same things we heard about.
That's the thing. I'm sure it would have been very easy for Jimmy Fallon to go on the air and not address it, but it meant a lot to him. You know, he said at some point, I wrote it down because I thought these words were perfect, she was the one I always tried to make laugh. That's great. I mean, he's the host of The Tonight Show. She saw her little boy, Mrs. Fallon saw her little boy grow into the American dream of hosting The Tonight Show. It's, you know, in our lifetime, only a couple of very select few people have done it. You know, he got Saturday Night Live when he was very, very young. He got The Tonight Show. He made some movies. I'm sure she was just brimming with pride. And for him to address it and say how much she meant to him on network TV, that's beautiful. I love seeing that.
Think back, though, as you were growing up, it's like your mom always would laugh at you or commend you, so then you'd do more to try to
right,
please her.
My mom pointed and laughed at me. She didn't just laugh at me.
Your mom had such a great sense of humor.
As did yours.
My mom did, too. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's funny because sometimes, you know, when your kids are in their teenage years, they push against their parents, but in the end, that's all we try to do is please our parents.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really, heartbreaking to hear. And the squeezing of the hands.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm amazed he was able to get through it, because just watching it, there's like three or four different moments where you go, oh no, oh no. So I give him such credit, and I give the other guys who have, you know, For Jimmy Kimmel to come out and talk about his son, you know, right after his son was born and finding out there was a birth defect and they almost lost him. That was so brave. For Stephen Colbert to talk about, you know, horrible tragedies that we've watched happen across the United States. Every time he comes on, he always takes a moment where he's not going for laughs. He's just saying,
no,
boy, it's a tough world out there and here's what we're going through. I love that these guys do this. I think this is such an important thing. You know, we may not know them really, because all they are people on our television sets, but, you know, you see them every day and you kind of get to know their moves and stuff. And it means a lot coming from those guys, to be honest and truthful for a moment or two.
It means something when someone is genuine.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to think, has George Clooney ever been really genuine about stuff? But I think maybe he has, since he's gotten married and
it's different.
He's an old man.
He's not. He doesn't have that. Is he old? I hope he's not an old man. They don't have that nightly platform,
yeah,
that
you're right,
the late night talk show hosts have. And I don't want to limit it to just those three, because I do remember there's been isolated incidents. I get to see Ellen's show a lot of days when I get home. I'll watch it with my daughter Reese. We'll watch it for a little bit, and you know, something will happen that's personal, and she'll address it. And I always think, wow, I don't remember this happening much when we were kids, but I like this.
And Conan, too. We keep leaving Conan out of things.
Yeah.
We always talk about the Jimmies.
Yeah.
Conan's pretty genuine, too.
Right. But Merv rarely did this.
No.
Dinah didn't do it. Mike Douglas didn't do it.
Everything was great with Dinah.
Right. And it should have been. That's the way we like our Dinah. All right, let's take a quick break. You know how to reach us if you want to. 312-981-7200. That's our call-in and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. We were just telling you a very beautiful moment as Jimmy Fallon paid tribute to his mom, who died last week on The Tonight Show, talked about how much she meant to him and how he was always trying to make her laugh. And we were saying that your older hosts didn't always do that. They didn't kind of break the show business third wall. They were just kind of straightforward. And when personal things happened to them, they didn't always address it. 847 said David Letterman was as genuine as any human could be.
Yep.
Now, I remember after he had his heart surgery, he came on and talked about it at great length. He brought on some of the doctors and said how they literally saved his life. I also remember when the scandal, the David Letterman scandal, came out about he and a coworker having an affair. This is prior to his being married. He talked about that a little bit on the air, and it was uncomfortable, but he addressed it, sometimes even making jokes about it.
Well, that's what he does, I
guess. He said, no women will talk to me. He goes, even when I ask Siri a question, she's quiet. It's really very funny.
Well, I guess Siri's been around longer than I thought.
Yeah.
And he didn't really open up until his heart issues. Something about
that
health problems.
Him. And, you know, also, he had a son kind of later in life. And I remember three or four different times where it seemed like they were scheduled to talk about something else. And he started talking about his son, Harry, and, you know, how much he means to him. And every time he did it, I just went, oh, this is beautiful. You know, he talked about how, you know, he had a life and thought it was a very complete life. And then when he had a son, it changed everything. And I went, I like seeing this. I like hearing this.
You're being very sentimental today.
Oh, very sentimental. I don't know what it is. 815 said, my one memory of emotion on television was when Walter Cronkite told us that JFK had died. Now, I was a day old at the time.
Of course you remember it because you completely understood the English language.
I have limited memory of it. I have some memory of it. No, I've seen it, of course, in film footage, and it was very uncharacteristic of Walter Cronkite to break, but he did seem throughout that report like he was going to weep. And you know, the country was in turmoil, so it's understandable.
Yeah, I don't remember much of that, but just, again, I can't recommend, and I know we're just coming off of Veterans Day, I can't recommend that PBS special of the Vietnam War mm-hmm. enough. And there's some footage of Kennedy in there and just all the stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Even though we were born there, we were so little, it's like sometimes I like to think, oh, yeah, I was around during that and the Vietnam War, but not, we really weren't.
Yeah.
It ended when we were like, what, 5 or 6 years old?
Yeah.
I know you remember because
I remember it like it was
yesterday.
You
were double promoted and ambidextrous.
Right. So I have special powers.
You should be a superhero.
I am. I'm not allowed to talk about
double
it,
hand man or something.
Right. I'm hoping for a better name, but yeah, I am.
Yeah, good.
Do you remember when Dan Rather came on David Letterman's show? This was after 9/11.
Yes.
And had a very, very hard time talking about it and started to cry. And David Letterman just kind of put his arm to his shoulder and said, hey, I know you're a newsman, but you're also a human being. How could this not affect you? I thought that was
a great moment.
Boy, wasn't it? It really was. We're so not used to seeing those guys break, but when they do, you know, it's jolting.
Well, and they've worked so hard to be, quote, professional all those years.
Yes.
But in my opinion, there's a new kind of professional.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think that for most of us, when you see these guys step out of the television mold a little bit and be, I think that gets them points. I think you realize, wow, it's not all you know, bright cameras, bright lights. It's real life up there. So, you know,
kind of like when Geraldo was opening Al Capone's
yes,
vault.
A perfect
which
example.
Everyone locally and nationally too, wasn't it a nationally televised
sure.
thing? Everybody, that is the biggest flop in the history of TV, one of the.
Yeah.
And he showed his true feelings as he showed disappointment that all he found was a bottle.
Yes.
Yes. Remember that?
I thought when they were promoting that, I thought this is going to be the first in a long line of these sort of things
yeah.
where there's mystery solved right before our eyes. But once that just, you know, went
fizzled.
Up in smoke. Yeah, horribly. That was the beginning and the end of that sort of thing.
Listen, I know it was supposed to be live television, and but they should have like had a metal detector or something to show that there was going to be something once the vault was opened.
Right.
I have never in my life seen like this big hyped thing where
it just didn't pay off.
Yeah, there's a dirty bottle.
Well, remember, all right, so now we're going back a year and a half or 2 years when one of the Walendas walked across the wire here in Chicago. And everybody, I mean, that got huge attention, and rightfully so. Luckily, he made it safely, but I think the curiosity factor there was what got people tuned in. Boy, what if on a windy night, on a cold, windy night, what if he doesn't make it? And there were no nets down below.
I know, that's crazy.
I'm shocked they let that happen. I'm so surprised they let that happen.
I thought somebody, some alderman, tried to get that not to happen.
Friends of the Park. They don't want anybody to have any fun at any time. They tried to block it. People won't be able to see
that
the lake if you got Walenda going across the wire.
That was it.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We have a lot more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
You're beautiful. It's true. All right, you said something off the air that I have to laugh at.
What?
We are going to talk about the You Are Beautiful campaign. The creator of that, Chicago-based artist and designer Matthew Hoffman, is here. Matthew, how are you? Nice to see you again.
Great. Great to see you. Thanks for having me again.
All right. You heard Bill. We were trying to figure out what song to play. And who is that? James
Blunt?
That's
James Blunt, yeah.
And what did you say?
I said, I love this song because it's nice and whiny.
It's just whiny enough to work.
Right. Don't you think?
Yeah, I didn't have that song in mind.
You're beautiful.
I just love it.
You did that?
So, yeah. I didn't do the recording of it. That was just me now. That's
sounded
James
like
Blunt.
Woody Woodpecker meets Mickey Mouse.
Thank you.
Matthew, aren't you glad you're here?
Absolutely.
But see, you can find beauty in all things, even us.
Yes.
You might remember there were these stickers, and I'm talking to the listeners now, there were stickers that surfaced at various places. Don't tell anybody, but there's still one in the washroom downstairs, the restroom here at WGN on the paper towel disposal. It's underneath. Mm-hmm. It says, "You are beautiful." Mm-hmm. And these stickers kept popping up all over the place. You were behind these stickers. What year was that?
So the first stickers were made in, 100 of them were made in 2002.
And you just randomly walked around and put them places?
Yep.
Pretty small, too, weren't they?
Yeah. Like the size of a business card.
Okay, perfect.
And you did this why? What was the thought behind it?
Well, so basically, I'd lived in small towns, and so when I moved to Chicago in 2002, it was the first time in a big city, and it's really exciting, but also kind of overwhelming, and there's a lot going on, and you can kind of feel lost in the chaos.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sort of a comforting small message and start putting it up. So we started with 100 stickers, and then started with little installations, and then those installations grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and the sticker amount has grown. We've just printed our 4 millionth sticker.
Oh, my God.
4 millionth?
Uh-huh, in 100 different languages.
Now, who pays for these?
So originally, this was a side project while I worked full-time, so I funded it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then over the years, the community has kind of come around it, and so now you can buy the stickers and other merchandise online.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps funding it.
Now, are you also the one I noticed at Tollbooth Plazas, people will put an REO Speedwagon sticker on the Tollbooth Plaza. Is that your work as well?
I'd have to see a picture to know for sure, you know?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Now, it says here, and I don't know how true this is. First of all, Matthew Hoffman in the studio with us, Chicago-based artist and designer. Hey, it's Matthew if you want to follow him on Twitter. You're the custodian of You Are Beautiful, and this message has reached every corner of the globe. Is that true?
Yep. We even got on Antarctica, which that was pretty exciting. Some people took the sticker and put it on a stuffed penguin and put it in the field of real penguins.
Wow.
So I never thought we'd get to that continent. Yeah.
And you have done installations, larger scale ones. We've seen them definitely here in the city of Chicago. Where else have you put these bigger signs and installations?
Well, it's the main home is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We have started to hit other cities and bring installations there. We actually just finished, wrapped up a Kickstarter where we funded an installation for every state in the country.
Very nice.
So this has really exploded.
Oh, yeah. 4 million of these stickers. So what do you think happens when somebody, maybe somebody's having a bad day and this is just the right amount of a boost they need to realize they're good inside, they're good outside? That's what you're hoping to achieve, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that people kind of come across that and have a moment.
Yeah.
And then they kind of look it up because we have absolutely no like information. It's only about that message and
right.
for you in that moment. And then they look it up and they find it and get stickers to sort of give other people that moment.
Right. Yeah. Now, for a while, Wendy was looking for your You Are Beautiful stickers, and she was putting up a sticker that said, ah, not you. And that was rude, I thought,
okay.
didn't you?
First of all, you're a liar. I just think it matters. I think, you know, it's honestly, it was on the mirror for a while in the restroom downstairs. Well, it's just all of a sudden you need a little pick me up, you know?
Yep.
Maybe you're having a bad day, and it's like, you know what? Damn it, I am beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe more inside than out, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You've done work for companies like Facebook, Zappos, Groupon, Cards Against Humanity. People just call you up, and you recently did some work for the brand new Apple store that just opened up on Pioneer Court. What did you do for them?
Yeah, so they had a temporary billboard that went around sort of the entire space and took Saba's lyrics and hand-drew them. And it was, yeah, it was really amazing. It was just like a massive piece. And then there was another art piece that faced the river that said, "Where Ideas Sing."
I saw that. That
yeah.
was you?
Yeah, and then did a hand-drawn apple.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Bill, you could never do anything like this.
I can't.
Show him your penmanship. It's the worst
you
in the world.
People would go, you're bountiful? What does that say? I can't work for you. So is there anything on there that traces, like if people see this, a lot of times good marketing would say at the bottom you put a website or a Twitter following or some way to get in touch. Is that on there or is that not on there?
No, that's not on there.
Wow.
And that's intentional in that it's really about that moment and that message.
You're not looking for credit at all. You're just, this is just a nice little confidence boost for people.
Yeah. And for the first 7 or 8 years, it was entirely anonymous, which I really liked.
Yeah.
And that's why I call it I'm the custodian, because someone has to sort of keep the lights on and the floors clean.
Right.
But it's really about the community.
Yeah.
And then there was a piece that came out on Oprah's network.
Oh.
And that was kind of
yeah.
like the thing that brought me out more.
Yeah.
But I prefer the emphasis to be on the message itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you know that was coming with Oprah? Or did somebody come to you and say, look, we're going to out you. We're going to let people know
Oprah
you're the person
did.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Oprah did it. Yeah.
That's right up her alley, though, isn't it?
Yes.
To really, every time you're on, somebody just posted that from Michigan.
Mm-hmm. In Three Oaks.
Three Oaks, Michigan.
Giant sign.
You are beautiful. I mean, it's just nice to see you smile. You have a pleasant thought for a minute. Maybe you're pissed at someone and you see this and then you're like, you know what? Life's not so bad.
Yeah. Hopefully it makes just sort of like a, you know, change in you.
Let me pitch you on something, Matthew.
Yeah,
You Are Beautiful, the movie. What do you think? Are you involved? Are you on in? I can get you in.
You know, it's a great documentary. Seriously, that a
it
guy who just wants to spread the word. Or is there anything in the works?
Not currently. Yeah.
Hmm. I've never made a documentary, but...
You Are Idle. Put that in there.
talk about these calendars, which is really the selfish reason why I wanted to have you on, Matthew. Our old producer, I shouldn't say that, former producer, he's not very old, Kevin Richter moved to L.A. with his lovely wife, Sarah, and there were these little tiny, like, word of the day type calendars, thought of the day, that you put together, and every day this past year before Kevin moved, he would read what was on it. Talk about these calendars. I love them.
Yeah. So it's my favorite current project.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's just every single day is a phrase. And some of the phrases kind of mix with the past one. So you might have a 4-day thing where like on their own, they don't make sense. But if you kind of like read them in succession, and they're a lot like fortune cookies where you kind of like some really, you're like, oh my gosh, like this is exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I just kind of love it.
How do you do that? How do you see forward ahead to know what people need at that particular
moment?
It's
a lot of work.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Have you ever been off base on one?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all just random and chance. But
let me read one. Bite a squirrel's head off. See, I don't think that's a good one.
Yeah. Are you sure you're looking at my calendar?
I thought it was. Maybe
it's somebody
else's.
Someone has texted us, 630, my daughter uses the message on her Facebook cover picture. And this was at Miller Beach, which I guess is Indiana.
Yep.
Explain that.
Yes.
Someone just texted this in, Bill.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was met like quite a few years back, but that was a sign that said, "Welcome to Miller Beach," mm-hmm. but it had kind of fallen in disrepair, so the first panel had fallen off, so it said, "Elcome to Iller Beach."
And this is in Indiana, correct?
Uh-huh, yeah. So off a cell phone picture, I kind of guessed the color and the scale, and my friend Ish kind of made that happen.
Your friend who now?
Ish Muhammad.
Oh.
He does a lot of arts programming in Miller Beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I just took the letters there, and we screwed them on both sides, and it's kind of the welcome sign to the area.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
We need more of this in our life. I'm glad you're the custodian for You Are Beautiful. Where do people follow you? How do people get a hold of your products? What's the best way to keep in touch with you?
Yeah, so either Hey, It's Matthew or mm-hmm. Yabsticker across sort of all channels.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the calendar and other cool stuff at youarebeautiful.com, but with dashes between it.
And there's T-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and things like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You want me to get you one that says you're beautiful?
A lunchbox would be nice.
We just came out with lunchboxes.
You got lunchboxes? I mean, thermos, too?
No.
Nah.
What's next for you? Where do you go with this?
Well, I think the beginning of... Well, we have a pop-up shop at Block 37.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like our next, you know, incarnation. And so we're going to see where that goes. And then probably, making this Kickstarter into reality with the bringing a piece to each state, because that's going to have its own challenges. But we're really excited about it.
There's a restaurant that I pass by on my way to the train every day, and where you're waiting to be seated, there's a sign that says, "Thank you for waiting. You are awesome."
Oh, nice.
Did they steal that from you, or are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that? Because it's still a positive message. It's along the same lines of what you're pushing, but it's positive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're putting out a positive message, that's great.
That's good news.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome has become overused, don't you think?
A lot. Yeah.
So beautiful is the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Matthew, thank you so much. Matthew Hoffman.
You're beautiful, Matthew.
Thank you.
Say it back to me, please.
You're beautiful, Matthew.
That's better. That's incorrect, but thank you.
How about this is very awkward. I'm going to make a sticker that says that.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter. Hey, it's Matthew. And what is the YAB thing? I know it stands for You Are Beautiful.
Yep, YAB sticker.
YAB sticker. Good luck to you, and keep spreading the word.
Thank you.
You make me proud to know you.
Thank you.
Bill's not nice.
No, I'm not. Thanks, Matthew. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, you know how in the past you have said, you have asked this question very adamantly, why doesn't stovetop stuffing make a special Thanksgiving dinner pants?
Pants?
Yeah, you've said that many times. You've always wondered, why doesn't a company like Stovetop create pants that people could wear for Thanksgiving?
That are made out of stuffing?
No, that would be something, wouldn't
it? No, it wouldn't, actually.
That would be amazing.
It'd get my chairs dirty.
Listen to this story. This is from the internet.
I love stovetop stuffing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where else could you have stuffing on a weeknight? My mom used to, all you do is add boiling water.
It's easy.
Oh, it's good.
You got stuffing. Stuffing instead of potatoes. Was that their tagline for a little while? Yeah.
Wow.
Stovetop stuffing, it says here, has created its own Thanksgiving dinner pants. This functional piece of clothing has a stretchy waistband, leaving plenty of room to comfortably pack on the pounds. You know how a lot of people will, Wendy, I'm not making this up, will overeat just a little bit on Thanksgiving. Well, now, thanks to Stovetop, you have an adjustable waistband in these pants, so you can gain 3, 5, 10, 20 pounds. It's up
to
you.
I think we've all figured that out by now.
Thanksgiving. Well, yeah, a lot of times you'll see people, like, unbuckle a belt loop.
Jim. Every
Your
year.
Husband does this?
I'm telling you, I don't know. He doesn't really eat that much except on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He goes through a full... That's the day I eat the least.
Yes.
Because I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy and I'm getting everything out on the table and then everybody's already sitting down eating and I have to get more rolls out of the oven.
So this is a good eating day for you.
Yeah.
Everybody else just... They're like gluttons. They're like, it's like Jabba the Hutt's house.
And here's the thing. You don't have to ram it all down your throat because give it a couple hours. Make yourself another plate.
That's the one day where it seems okay for people to have a second or sometimes third dinner.
Because you work so hard on all this stuff. There's so much.
But my theory is, it's one of the things I don't like about Thanksgiving. People have dinner like at 3 o'clock, which is not normal. Dinner should be had at 7, maybe 7:30. I can see 8 o'clock, but you should have dinner at 3 o'clock.
Did you ever do family dinners on Sundays?
Not usually.
Because the
You mean with extended family members?
Yeah.
No.
Because we used to go to my grandma's every Sunday after church, and we would have like a big after church dinner,
at
supper.
What time was this held?
Like any time between 1 and 3. It would be early, and then you'd just have like
when was
soup.
Lunch then? When did you have lunch? During church?
No.
Just bring a packed lunch to church?
No.
I'm just going to have a
the wafer
ham
filled
and
me
Swiss.
Up.
If everybody could look the other way, that'd be great.
Oh, you could make little wafer sandwiches, though, the little tiny piece. I'm sorry, God. Bill does this to me. You just wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
And then you'd go to like noon mass. And then afterwards, we'd probably go have like a big Sunday dinner at like, say, any time between 1 and 2.
Mm.
And then Sunday evening, I know you're going, well, what's for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
It would either be leftovers or you'd do like a grilled cheese and soup.
That would throw my eating pattern off for 3 months. I wouldn't eat normally again until April.
It's just Sundays.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. My body would just, it wouldn't know what to do.
Does it make you feel any better that when I'm hosting Thanksgiving, I'm having people come anywhere between 3 and 4, but we're not eating till 5? Is that acceptable?
It's better, but dinner should not be at 5 o'clock.
That's dinner time.
Dinner at 5 o'clock?
When do you eat?
7 is the earliest. I can't have dinner before 7.
7
is too late.
I'm going
to make a horrible old person. Because you know how... Do you ever pass by like a buffet and there's people lined up at noon for dinner and you go, oh, come on, what are you doing?
Can I tell you when Jim and I both worked mornings, not together, but
yeah.
We would have to get up at 3 a.m, so we would go out for dinner at 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There were so many elderly people eating
yeah.
at that time, and quite honestly, I kind of liked it.
When my grandmother lived in Miami, all of South Florida has dinner. Like by 2 o'clock, everybody's in
no.
bed.
No.
They're done.
2 o'clock.
There's this place called Bill Knapp's. Did you ever pass by there?
No.
We always believed it was called Knapp's because people were sleeping at the table, but I could be wrong because it's spelled differently. But yeah, dinner that early, I can't do it.
I'm confused on something.
What's up?
How are we going to do the stream if you're going to be broadcasting from this studio?
Hello, Wendy.
It's Steve Bertrand. Steve is going to be in the other studio.
I had dinner with the Manfredinis on Friday.
Oh, you did?
5 o'clock.
That's
what?
Dinner time.
What?
Wait, was it a weeknight?
It was Friday, but...
Oh, that's
early.
Does he allow a cock gun at the table? Because I heard he does.
He does.
And that's awkward.
We all had other things to do, and we had to catch up on something, so...
Five o'clock dinner.
I was the first one there. I mean, I was the first one in the restaurant. I walked in... Everyone looked up like, what are you doing here?
We're not open yet.
We're here to help set up.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break.
I'm going
to
move.
Oh, I thought maybe we were getting off early today.
No.
Damn it.
No.
You love the stream.
I do love the stream, but I didn't know how we were going to share studios. Boy, we have a lot of... What?
It'll be okay. No, Steve's in the other studio for the winter.
Okay.
It'll be all right.
You guys are like talking about me right in front of me. That's very uncomfortable.
I don't know behind your back.
I guess.
All right, a quick break, and then Steve will explain himself. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we say hello to Steve Bertrand. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch.
John Najarian's coming on to talk about Wall Street. He's probably on CNBC right now, but then he grabs a phone, talks to us. It's been a bad couple of days for GE.
Mm-hmm.
I think their stock is down 13% since the start of the week. So,
do we know why?
Yeah, they came out with sort of an adjustment, a redevelopment plan. That the CEO said he knew would be painful, but...
Not this painful.
Hurts. Oh, we're a little late. Also, Suzanne Mushin, there's a Girl Scout column. You guys would love this, the way you opened your show about sexual discrimination and
mm-hmm.
harassment. Girl Scout column reminding parents that maybe it's not a good idea to tell the little girls to hug their aunt or uncle at Thanksgiving.
Okay, this is just coming too far.
Because then what they're doing is you're saying, well, you're doing it for payment. If they give you a gift, you just shouldn't be forced to hug someone.
You should be forced to hug someone when they're your relative. Sorry.
Come over here and hug me right now.
You're not my relative.
I could be.
Oh, God.
This is Chicago's.
Always takes it one step too far.